What's the Takeaway podcast, hosted by Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant, covers a variety of relevant topics with professional guests. This is the perfect show to learn from different views on national newsworthy topics. The show airs every Saturday at 11:30 a.m.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever part you're in. We are certainly one to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are thankful for another time and another season that we're in. We are moving into a season in my location in Georgia, where it's the rainy season. And so, but we give God thanks even for the rain. So we're just grateful to be here on today, grateful to be in the land of the living. We are so glad that you have tuned us in. I am Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant, and this is What is the Takeaway podcast. I have an interesting, and very interesting to me, podcast that we want to talk about today, and I want to share some information that I think that will be a benefit to every listener. And even if you are probably on task with this, you need to pass this podcast on for someone you know that is not going to be on task with this subject matter. And the subject matter, basically, we're going to talk a little bit about funeral cost and funeral preparations. And so many times, this is something that we don't want to talk about, especially in the African-American community. We sometimes want to not deal with the issue. We rather say, okay, when I'm dead and gone, you all deal with it. But we are beginning to find out that it's something that we need to address while we are yet here, address with our family members or whomever we have in charge of all of our business, and who will be able to be the power of attorney of you if by chance something should happen to you. This is something that needs to be discussed. And so today, I'm excited to have this young man with me. He is a native of Savannah, but now he lives in the Florida area. In fact, he lives in Orlando, but he works for the Baldwin Brothers Funeral Home, and his office is located in the Apopka, Florida area. The Baldwin Brothers Funeral Home has 19 branches, and I'm excited that Janavis Lane, who is a minister, and we're going to get to that part. He works for 5 of the 19 branches, and that's commendable for a young man of his age. He is considered a care team member, and with that comes a lot of responsibility. And as he began to talk with you more, he's going to share some of the responsibilities that he have with the Baldwin Brothers Funeral Home. Janavis is a minister of the gospel. He preaches, he teaches, he is my spiritual son, something that he wanted everybody to know. And I am so happy that he is. He is a wonderful young man that you will enjoy. You're going to enjoy just talking to him. Has a great sense of humor. And we're going to try to make this as not humorous, because there's nothing funny about death, but we want to try to make it as receptive as possible so that you will receive the information that we're going to give you on today. God bless you, Minister Janavis Lee.
How you doing today, Dr. Grant?
I'm great. I'm great. And I just want you to introduce yourself. I did a little bit, but I want you to share with my audience anything that you want them to know about who Minister Janavis Lane really is.
Well, I really think you said it all and you covered it all. I just want to add on the footnote that I am from Savannah, Georgia, but I am proud to be from Savannah, Georgia. I tell everybody, oh, no, I'm not from here. I'm from Savannah, Georgia. I tell everybody when they ask where I'm from, I make sure I say, no, I am not from Florida. I am not an orange. I'm a peach. I was born a peach. I was born a Georgia peach. I am not a Florida orange. So I'm very proud of where I am from. And that's really basically adding everything along. You know, I love the Lord. I love working in my field. I love doing what I do because I also consider it a ministry to be able to, you know, help and comfort people during their time of need.
And I'm glad you said that. I can remember, and we're good. We missed Janavis being in Savannah, Georgia, because Janavis, even at a young age, we always used to say he was older than his years, because sometimes the wisdom that would come out of his mouth, we would be in awe as to how he knew that. But there is something I always knew about Janavis, and one of them is that he always had an interest in the funeral home business and things of that nature, and funeral services and all of that. And I used to think, well, why is this young man so interested in all of this? But as he said, and I have become to believe, this is a ministry for him because he is more concerned about the bereaved, and he's concerned about the things that should help us to prepare for funeral expenses and things of that nature. So what I'm going to start off with, Janavis, allowing them to know that you are attending, or you have completed what, the mortuary classes?
Yes, ma'am. I have completed the majority of it. You know, with the COVID-19 pandemic, that changed a few things for me and put a delay in it. So there are some things that I have to go back and redo because of the pandemic, but we are almost through, and I am very, very, very excited about it. And I actually want to be licensed in the state of Florida, the state of Georgia, and South Carolina. So that takes just a little bit extra work. And I don't just want to be a funeral director. I want to be a funeral director and an embalmer. And I'll be happy to talk about the difference later on if time permits.
I'm just about to ask you, what is the difference?
Well, in a funeral director, the funeral director is the one who the family meets, you know, normally the one who the family talks to on the phone. That's who the family schedules the appointment with to come in and finalize the arrangement, you know, as far as burial, service details. That is the funeral director. And the embalmer is the male or female who works behind the scenes in preserving the remains of the deceased and preparing them for the service. So the funeral director deals with the family, the embalmer deals with the deceased. And in a lot of states, in most states, you have to be a licensed embalmer in order to be a funeral director. But there are a few states like the state of Florida where you can do either or.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to ask, does a funeral director have to have an embalming license since they're not really dealing with
it? In the state of Georgia, you do. In Florida, you don't have to.
Okay. All right. So now, what I want to talk about two things here, and one of them being burial versus cremation. And I don't want to get into how a person is prepared, body is prepared, but I've noticed that now a lot of people are saying they prefer to be cremated. And I know that's a person's choice, but why do you think that all of a sudden now, especially believers, I would call, you know, say now they're being cremated, and is this just a popular thing? What is it?
Oh, well, cremation, well, the main thing that I notice is cheaper. Is very, very cheap. I mean, there are some funeral homes who actually, for a thing called simple cremation, which is where, you know, no viewing or anything like that, you just cremate the individual, you can get it as low as $995 and you're done. It's much cheaper than paying, you know, thousands of dollars, because, you know, if you have a funeral, you know, you have to pick out a casket and pay various fees and service fees, and you got to pay for flowers and a burial plot. So it's much cheaper. And I would say it's easier on the family to cremate, because, you know, they don't have to, you know, deal with, you know, having to constantly look at their loved one. if they don't want to, but also too, there are just like different types of even cremation packages that you can do. And it's still just all in all, it's just a cheaper option. And it's just a little easier on the family, because after one is cremated and they are inurned, they can keep them with them. You know, they can take their loved ones' remains and keep them in an urn somewhere in the house. Or some people actually take some of the cremated remains and put them in necklaces and rings and bracelets, and they wear them.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and to each his own, but let me ask this when you brought that up. When you said that it's called simple cremation, the people that I know that have been cremated, they still have like a memorial service. Is that still considered an expense?
Well, it honestly depends on whether the family chooses to use the funeral home or not. What I've mm-hmm. noticed around like cultures in Georgia, and especially in the African American community, they choose to still use the funeral home. And what I mean by that is, okay, they'll use the funeral home for their loved one to be cremated, and they're cremated and inurned. That's the process of putting the ashes into an urn. It's called inurnment. And when the individual is inurned, they'll say, well, we want to have a memorial service. And so by doing that, they'll, you know, use limousines and stuff from the funeral home. And so when you include the funeral home, it is more of an expense versus if you just allow your loved one to be cremated and just talk to your local church and say, hey, pastor, we want to have a memorial service for our loved one here. So if you have your memorial service independent of the funeral home, it'll be cheaper.
Okay. I just wonder, because most times, you know, lately, and it used to be a time, and I guess because I am old school, yes, and coming out of what we would call back in the day holiness, you know, now we say the Pentecostal church or whatever, but we back in the day we called it holiness. We really did not believe in cremation. And so that's why now I see it's popular, and it's popular among Pentecostal people as well as other denominations. And I was just curious. It piques my curiosity to know that it is on the rise. And I don't know whether it's all about the money, because some people have insurances. So would you think that they do that so they can leave the balance to their families to make sure the family is being taken care of? Or
yes, ma'am, I would also agree with that as well, you know, so they can leave the balance of that as well to their families. And then some people just have, you know, different ideas, you know, but like I stated earlier, it may sound a little morbid, but one can do more with their loved one's remains if they are cremated versus if they just bury them. You know, it's like because when I talk to families who choose that option, they always say it makes them feel like they still have a part of their loved one with them. Like, because I knew a young lady who used our services who actually put her mother in her wedding ring. Put some of her mother's remains in her wedding ring. And she said that just makes her feel like her mother is always with her. So sometimes, you know, it can be financial and it can also be for sentimental reasons.
Okay. So who does that? If I put it in my ring, does the funeral home do that? Or I just pour some ashes in there and kind of get a jeweler to seal it in or whatever?
Actually, you can do it either way, but it would be easier for most people to do it through the funeral home. Most funeral homes that do offer that service, they do have a catalog, and you can go to that catalog and pick. I mean, it's really like a plethora of jewelry. I mean, different types, different forms, different styles of necklaces, rings. People get earrings. I mean,
Are you serious?
Yes, oh ma'am. People can get earrings made. People can get wedding rings. I'm trying to think of everything. We've done some of everything at our place, or people can do what is called a keepsake, which is like a mini urn, and they just take a miniature urn and they scatter it. There's actually one thing that's called biodegradable dispose, where you can actually take the cremated remains of a loved one and put it in a biodegradable urn and bury it, and it grows a tree. So that's why a lot of people, when they say they're planting a tree in honor of their loved one, it's not just, oh, I got some seeds and put it in the ground. That's actually their loved one's remains that they put in a biodegradable urn. They buried it and grew a tree.
You're teaching me, Janavis, because I declare I didn't know all of that, you know, about cremation. So now I'm seeing why it's becoming more popular, and why people are now doing it. I have something that I would say, but I won't say, because that'll be a discussion you and I have privately. But okay, in talking about that, and then of course now we're looking at the actual burial. You know, where you saying in cremation, it could be as low as $9.95. All of these other aspects that you're talking about, the jewelry and everything else, that will cause the cost of the cremation to go up, right?
Yes, naturally. Ma'am. There's, you know, an inurnment fee. And then, of course, you'll have to pay for the jewelry. And I mean, that might be an extra $100 or $200. It depends on what type of jewelry that you choose. So, I mean, it's still, you're looking at, I'd say $1,100 to $1,200 at the end.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad. Oh, okay. Okay, I thought it was about, let's say, about $2,000, $3,000. And I was like, well, they can go ahead and bury, because sometimes they have these little deals. I see funeral homes advertise $3.95 and what you can get or whatever. And let's get to that. Let's get to the actual person or family that wants to bury their loved ones. And I don't know why, but you know, I have seen funeral expenses, the expense of an actual burial, a funeral that's where the person is being buried. The base of it is almost $12,000. And it looks like to me, funeral expenses are going up every year. Is it safe for me to say that?
Yes, ma'am. That is very, very true. I was looking at some records, and the average funeral back in 1990, which is 32 years ago, was $5,000.
Wow. $5,000.
Yes,
and that was a top of the line.
Top of the line funeral. I mean, like full couch casket, which is like head to toe viewing. Wow. And full spray, like flowers cover the entire top of the casket, hearses, programs, flowers,
$5,000. $5,000. And yes, now, 10, you go from, when you do 10, that's skimping on some stuff. That's skimping. Yeah. You're skimping.
Yes, ma'am. You have the average cost for a traditional burial is somewhere between $10,000 to $15,000. But the cost has gone up, just like it's just regular inflation in the industry, you know, just like the price of gas and rent and groceries and things like that go up. So does that industry, especially that industry, because as I joke sometimes with the people I work with, I say, that's the industry that'll never die.
That's a good one. That's a good one. But you're right. We're going to always need the funeral home. We're going to always, just like we're going to always need the hospitals, we're going to always need the funeral homes. And that is so true. But, you know, I just look at the cost of funerals and what you have to spend now for, I wouldn't even mind what I spent each year that my loved ones passed. And I won't even get into my brother's funeral, but my mom's funeral versus my sister's funeral, and how the expenses were so much. In to my mom was in 16 and in 17, My sister was in 16, my mom was in 17. And in that 1 year, how the cost had shot up so high. I just couldn't believe it.
Well, a lot of people don't realize what goes into a funeral. And I would like to take a brief moment and discuss it. I won't talk about anything morbid, of course, but to discuss, because a lot of people don't really see what we see behind closed doors. And they, you know, they think funeral homes just, oh, they just doing all that, just keep the money. No, we have to pay people. You know, we contract people. Like when you, let's just say someone chooses to buy a casket for their loved one, and the casket costs $5,000. What people fail to realize is that funeral homes do not make their own caskets. We buy them from companies. And the main two casket companies you see nowadays are a company called Batesville and one called Cardinal. And so those are, you know, the funeral home has to buy the casket from one of those two companies. Whichever one you choose, we buy the casket from the company. Now, one of those companies, they give us a price because the company has to make a profit off of the funeral home. And then the funeral home has to in turn make a profit off of the family, because in the casket company, you got to pay for all the utensils that are used. And then you have the people, the men and the women who actually are in these factories making the caskets. After they make, they got to put the lining inside of the casket. And, you know, they're just, you know, different caskets cost, you know, different, you know, like you have caskets like people like Aretha Franklin had and Michael Jackson, which is called the Promethean, which is a gold casket. And, you know, you have the two beer casket, which are like caskets that have actual two lids, and full couch caskets. They're just, you know, different types of caskets, different types of material. And it's just, you know, so that's why, you know, like the cost of a casket would be high. Then when it comes down to flowers, people fail to realize, okay, the florist has to make a profit. And then the florist has to buy the flowers from somewhere. So the florist themselves has to buy the flowers. Then they have to make a profit off of the flower. Then they have to hire a team to put the arrangement together. And then the florist has to deliver the flowers to the church or to the funeral home. That's gas for a vehicle, that's insurance. So the florist has to make a profit. Then in turn, the funeral home has to make a profit. And so, you know, it's all about, you know, people don't realize that all of this goes into it, you know, because most of the time they just come to the funeral home, go in the office, sit behind a desk, look at a catalog, or go in the casket room and say, I want this, that, and the other. And then people fail to realize, okay, now, so that's just casket and flowers. We haven't even gotten into programs. You got to make programs. It costs to print on paper, whatever type of paper you use, the size of the program. Then you got to think about limousines. People say, why are limousines are so much? Well, you have to put gas in limousines. You know, limousines need to get washed. You got to pay for car wash, oil change, car insurance, registration, just like the regular cars that you and I drive. Funeral homes have to do that for their company. Even when it comes down to a hearse, that's why some funeral homes charge a minimal fee for a hearse. You know, but, you know, like I said, you still got a car wash and all the things that I just mentioned that need to be done for a limousine. But the fun fact is, too, about hearses, there is no company that makes hearses. You know, like you may have a hearse that's a Lincoln or a Cadillac. Lincoln didn't make that. That's a regular car that had to be then purchased and taken to a third party to make it into a hearse. So Cadillac doesn't sell. They don't manufacture hearses. They manufacture regular cars, and then you have to take it to a third party, and they turn it into a hearse, and you have to pay for that. And then when you go back to the basics of it, you know, funeral homes, they have lights, light bills. They have to pay, you know, water bills, Wi-Fi bills, and we haven't even gotten into preparation of the deceased yet. That's just what we see with the eye, you know, different chemicals and things that are involved in preserving the body. You got to, you know, pay for the makeup, you know, pay for what is called biohazard waste, you know, disposing of the unclean things that are used to prepare a body. You got to pay for that. And then last but not least, you got to pay your employees. So all that, you know, all that goes into it. And, you know, people don't really realize that. And I want, another thing I want to throw in from experience is that sometimes those of us who work at the funeral home can sometimes be just as tired as the family. Because, you know, that's, you know, normal African-American family, we're going to have a wake Friday night. Then after the wake, we're going to have the funeral Saturday morning. But what they fail to realize is that, okay, well, after we have had the wake Friday night and the family has gone home, we then have to take that body, take it back to the funeral home and do what we have to do, make sure everything's, you know, come up with a plan of, you know, who's going to drive what car, which team is going to set the body up in the church, which team is going to pick the family up. And then, so the service may not start until 11 a.m. The funeral home cars may not be to pick the family up until 10:15, 10:30. And the body may be in repose at the church at 9:30. Well, the funeral workers got to get up about 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning to get ready for work, then come to work, take that body, load up the body and the flowers, and set it up in the church. So, you know, we do more than what people think, but I think because most of the time, emotionally, they're not concerned about us. You know, they're concerned about their loved one who has gone on, and they just don't see all these things. So they just think, you know, we have an easy, lax job. And I don't mean to be disrespectful with this, but also too, we are doing this. I just mentioned this for one person. You know, we don't just get one person a week. Sometimes we get, you know, 4 and 5 people a week, or in the case of my funeral home, it's easy for us to get 7 or 8 people a day. I'm talking about between the hours of 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Yeah.
So those are all the cost-wise, the things that go into it. Oh, I'm sorry. And don't forget about burial. You got to pay for the burial plot. And then there's a thing that's called the opening and closing of a vault. So you got to pay for, you actually have to pay for them to dig the hole. Then you have to pay for the vault. Then you have to pay for the closing or the sealing of the vault. And then whatever type of vault that you get, you know, if you get a simple, you know, white vault, that's not going to cost much. But if you know, you get a special custom made vault, then you think about the headstone, or if people are in mausoleums, you know, which when they slide them into the wall, that is like $10,000 by itself to be buried in a mausoleum. So it's a cost, and you got to think about the people who we call them grave diggers. You know, the people who dig the grave, they got to get paid too, and the company who makes the vaults, they have to get paid. So it's a whole chain of commands, and it's, you know, just like any other business.
Wow. So I think while you were talking, there used to be a commercial that came on about the Army saying they do more by 9 a.m. than we do all day. And it seems as though by 9 a.m. you all have done more than a lot of people do all day. I want to, you know, just listening to all of the things that we have to pay for. And, you know, and I'm one that really have said, oh, my God, why is it so expensive? You know, and I'll be and listening to you, I'm beginning to understand. But so insurance. What would be the bare minimum of insurance that a person need to, say, get for a burial? If I said, if I'm just going to do my funeral, I'm not trying to make no money out of this. I'm just trying to get my loved one buried. What is the bare minimum of an insurance policy that one might need to have?
Personally, I would say the bare minimum would be $30,000 insurance policy, the bare minimum, especially with the price of funerals going up every year. That's why I said that amount, you know, because, you know, you can get insurance, but you never know when you may leave, which is why I am for pre-need, but I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Yeah. You know, because I mean, like I said, and you just said too, insurance goes up. I mean, funerals cost goes up every year or every 2 years, what have you. And if I went and took out a $10,000 policy, you know, like you see this commercial that comes on for Colonial Pen, and they say for $9.95, you get, what is it? Like, $9.95, you get like a $10,000 policy. Well, if that's what this is. This is 2022. If I say 2032, that policy will not be, it wouldn't even cover half of what you need.
That's right. But also depends on the type of things that you choose. There are caskets that are like $1,200, but most people, especially in our community, because it's all about what we see. they won't want to use a $1,200 casket. Most people don't want to use that. You know, they're like, oh, that's too cheap. The handles don't even move. You know, stuff like that, you know. So
okay. So I want to talk about needs for just a minute. We're going to go and do the Jazuri break for Jazuri and have our Jazuri commercial to come on. And then we come back and let's talk about pre-needs, okay?
All right.
Welcome to the Jazuri brand of body oils. Jazuri 24 Karat 5-in-1. The ingredients of this wonderful oil helps to exfoliate, soften, and moisturize. It is quick absorbing and has anti-aging elements that give your skin a youthful appearance. Jazuri Bliss has a glossy, satiny feel. It hydrates the body and helps you feel refreshed. Jazuri Ignite. This is a body oil for men. The secret to this oil is the honey that helps protect, repair, and prevent skin damage. Jazuri Pink Ice. The smell of sweet jasmine is the dominant floral fragrance that you will smell. It's rich in emollients, with a touch of vitamin E, which helps to rejuvenate your skin and lighten scars. Jazuri Sugar and Spice. Experience the dazzling sugar crystals combined with our rich oils that will exfoliate and help clear up dry skin, making your skin to be alive again. Learn more at www.jazuribrand.com. Email info@jazuribrand.com.
Okay, so we are back. We are back, and this is very interesting to me. Very interesting. I have with me Minister Janavis Lane. He is the care team member for Baldwin Brothers Funeral Home in Apopka, Florida. And we have been talking and chatting about so much that deals with death and burial or death and cremation, and very interesting topic and things that we need to know and learn from. And now let's talk about pre-needs. Explain to the audience exactly what that means.
Well, pre-need simply means that you pay for your funeral arrangements in advance. So it's just, you know, setting up an appointment with the funeral director, and you would meet, you know, with the funeral director, but you would plan your own funeral. Not necessarily down to like the order of service, but like, what do you want? The type of burial that, you know, you'd be like, well, I want to have a funeral, but after my funeral, I want to be cremated. Or, you know, you just discuss what do you want for when you pass away. And after you discuss that, you pay for it. And in most funeral homes, that secures the price of your services. So, you know, like if you get a pre-need in 2022 and you pass away in 2025 and the cost of the funeral has gone up $3,000 in those 3 years, well, since you already paid for everything, your family won't even have to pay for anything because you already paid for it.
Wow, that's good, you know. So say for instance, you kind of made us pass away just 3 years after we got the pre-needs done. But say for instance we did a pre-need in 2022 and we died in 2050. Will it still be good?
Yes, ma'am. But you just have to make sure you read the fine print on the contracts, because every funeral home is different when it comes down to those pre-need contracts. Because I've heard of some funeral homes who pre-needs only last like 5 years, because pre-needs really started for elderly, were really for elderly people or for people who were sick, who were going to pass soon. That's when they started doing it. And then over the years, people just wanted to do it to just get it over with, you know, so my family don't have to worry about it. And so, you know, so some funeral homes are still with that. No, this is only good for 5 years. And then others are like, this is good as long as you want to live. And even some funeral homes have a clause in their pre-need that says, if our funeral home goes out of business, this pre-need is good at such and such and such funeral home.
Okay, yeah. That would be good. So in the pre-need, you would get all of the things that you named earlier. All
yes,
of that,
ma'am.
The closing of the grave, opening, closing of the grave, all of that is included in that as well?
Yes, ma'am. That's all that is included. Basically, simply put, a pre-need is when a person who is alive go to the funeral home and they just plan their own funeral and they pay for it. They can pay it all up front. Of course, they can get on the payment plan and pay like $10 a month for it until it's paid off.
So I guess my concern is there are a number of young people and some that are older that do not have insurance. That concerns me simply because funeral homes used to say, well, okay, we're gonna start a payment plan for you so that you could go ahead and bury your loved one. They have stopped doing that. I would like to think they stopped doing it simply because people don't pay them. But what do you, I know that at Baldwin, you sometime run into, or your company have run into people with out insurance and no money to pay. So what is your policy on that?
Well, simply stated, most, like you said, most funeral homes, when they used to do that, you don't get paid, you know, all your money. So with Baldwin, we kind of just, you know, we don't do anything until you pay us. So that's how that works at Baldwin. You know, we don't do anything until you pay us. We will be more than happy to pick your loved one up from wherever they pass that and take them into our care. But until you can plan all you want to, but until you pay us, we will not proceed with anything.
Okay. Having said that, and I know we're running out of time, but I need this question to ask. Having said that, how long can you hold a body, you know, that for non-payment or whatever, and the people who never perhaps come up with the money, what do you do then? I used to hear a long time ago that the city had the responsibility for burying that individual. Is that still true today?
That is still true. That we will give it over to release it to the state, actually. And most times what happens is they'll just do a simple cremation and wait. Because that doesn't just happen because of non-payment. That can also happen if we cannot identify a person or if we cannot find any living relatives. That does happen a lot. Some people pass and they can't be identified or they don't have any living relatives.
Okay. All right. So now, you know, this is interesting, and I'm going to have you come back and do part two because I have so many questions I want to ask and we're running out of time. But I will ask you this. So what's the takeaway for right now that you want us to leave us with?
The takeaway that I would like to leave with you all is that please make sure you get insurance and get enough of it. One thing that I want to say too is that when one gets insurance, it is recommended that you get seven times the amount that the person made. So if they brought in $100,000 a year, then their insurance policy should be at least, $100,000 a year. Their insurance policy should be at least $700,000. So that should, you know, help you to cover the cost of the service and have some to live off of. So I would say, please make sure you get insurance. Make sure you have these discussions with your family so they are aware. And I believe the main reason that people do not have these discussions with their family, especially in the Black community, because they feel as though if they talk about this, they feel like they're going to die soon after they talk about it for whatever reason. That's how people really feel when they talk about, but this is what I want for my family. They feel like they're just jinxing themselves and they're going to die next week. But that's not the case. It's just better to be prepared because it makes it easier on the family and it makes it easier on the funeral home staff because you never really know, unfortunately, how you're going to leave this earth. So it's just better to be prepared and have it and not need it than to need it and don't have it.
That's so smart. I have enjoyed this, Janavis. I really have enjoyed this. It has been a learning experience for me. And like I said, I have to do a part two with you because there are so many other questions I wanted to ask. And I really believe that people need to know this information and not just be playing around because as I would like to think, people are dying and they are dying, especially with COVID and how COVID just took out so many people. And I don't know of all of them, how many families were ready to see that. Nobody's ready to see their loved one leave, but how business-wise were they ready for that to really happen? And so these are things that we need to be talking about and we need to continue to talk about it until our families understand that this death is also too a part of the other part of life, other side of life. So we have to make sure that we understand what's on the other side. And I would like to thank you. I'd like to thank Baldwin Brothers Funeral Home for allowing you to come and share this information with us. And we are hoping that to all of our listeners, if you are okay with your insurance and everything else, pass this podcast on so that others who you know that are not okay can hear this information and do something about it. This is Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant and What's the Takeaway podcast. Have a tremendous week. Until next time.
What's the Takeaway podcast, hosted by Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant, covers a variety of relevant topics with professional guests. This is the perfect show to learn from different views on national newsworthy topics. The show airs every Saturday at 11:30 a.m.